This is Bloomberg, the first word for this Wednesday, July 20th, 2016. Coming up this hour,
Microsoft gains in early trading after reporting earnings that topped estimates.
Pacific Investment Management Company appoints a new CEO.
U.S. authorities are said to take their first action tied to the 1MDB probe.
The children of Donald Trump gave us a glimpse of their father on day two of the Republican National Convention. I'm Michael Barr. That story and more straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Mets held on in Chicago, topped the Cubs 2-1. Yankees are over 500. Easy win over the Orioles, and Tiger Woods says he won't play golf at all in 2016.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg, the first word. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg, the first word is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And it's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning are higher. S&P E-mini futures up 5 points, Dow E-mini futures up 59, and NASDAQ E-mini futures up 12. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%, so is the CAC in Paris, and the FTSE 100 is up 0.4%. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 0.25%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong gained 1%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, the yield 1.55%. Yield on the two-year, 0.69%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 10 cents to $44.75 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $5.60 to $13.26.70 an ounce. The euro, $1.1004 and the yen, 106.48.
Microsoft shares are up 4.2% in early trading today after reporting profit and sales that topped analyst estimates. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the story.
Microsoft was lifted by an aggressive push into internet-based software and services for businesses. Fiscal fourth quarter revenue, including some adjustments, came in at $22.6 billion, compared with the average analyst estimate for $22.1 billion. Revenue from Azure, the company's corporate cloud platform, doubled in the quarter ending June 30th. CEO Satya Nadella has been trying to reorient Microsoft's business around cloud and productivity services as traditional software sales shrink. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Charlie. Pacific Investment Management Company has named Manny Roman as its next chief executive, and Bloomberg's Ryan Chilcote tells us more.
Karen and Bob, Manny Roman has been the CEO of Man Group, the world's largest publicly traded hedge fund manager, since 2013. How does his performance at the helm measure up to his peers during that period? Well, you can measure that using the Bloomberg management function. Total rate of return of Man Group's peers during Roman's tenure was just over 2%. Roman's 11.5%. Ryan Chilcote, Bloomberg Radio, London.
Ryan, thanks. Equities in Europe are heading higher this morning. We get the latest live now from Bloomberg's Manus Krani in our London bureau. Manus, good morning.
A very good day to you. European stocks, you're right, are rising. It's all about technology. SAP and ASML, the chip maker, both driving the markets this morning. Technology up 2.5%. Some individual stocks to focus in on. SAP, as I mentioned to you, up 4.5%. That's quite a rally. We haven't seen that high on the stock since 1998. No Brexit impact on their business thus far. New licensing business up by 10%. That is one of the key metrics that the market focuses on. Unilever, I love this story. Unilever to buy Dollar Shave. The deal said to be worth $1 billion. This is all about giving Unilever fast-growing online subscription sales. So those are the two big deals. London trades up by 0.4%, 67.25, and the DAX is above the 10,000 plimsoll line, 10,073. Bob, Karen, back to you.
All right, Manus Krani in our London bureau. Thanks, Manus. In Asia today, stocks finish mostly higher, lifting the regional index back to a three-month high. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports from our Hong Kong bureau.
Hong Kong developer and casino stocks rallied, setting a gauge of equities in the city towards a bull market. Hong Kong's dual-listed stocks traded at the narrowest discount to their mainland Chinese counterparts since October, as cheaper valuations in the city lured investors. Australian stocks rallied despite a fall in BHP Billiton shares, closing at their highest level since August. Indonesia and Thailand equities climbed towards a one-year high. But the TOPIX index had its first fall in 6 days, Nintendo shares falling close to 13% after their recent Pokemon Go fueled rally, and the A-share market in Shanghai also closed lower. Juliette Sali, Bloomberg Radio, Hong Kong.
Thanks, Juliette. U.S. federal prosecutors are expected to file civil lawsuits to seize assets allegedly purchased with money from One Malaysia Development, or One MDB. That's according to the Wall Street Journal, which says the move could come as early as this morning. One MDB is Malaysia's state-owned investment fund, which has spurred criminal and regulatory investigations around the world, casting an unflattering spotlight on financial deal-making, election spending, and political patronage. There are probes related to the fund in at least 10 countries. This would be the U.S. government's first action tied to One MDB.
Morgan Stanley reports second quarter results this morning. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
Bloomberg Intelligence says weaker numbers may be on the way. Analysts say Morgan Stanley may have seen a 24% drop in its per-share profit. The investment bank is more focused on equities, which may have underperformed fixed income gains over the last 3 months. Staff cuts carried out at the end of last year likely helped to lower costs. Forecasts are for Morgan Stanley to post a profit of 59 cents a share on revenue of $8.3 billion. Buy ratings slightly outnumber hold ratings on the company. Morgan Stanley gets just 2 sell ratings. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Jeff. State officials in the U.S. allege that Volkswagen's diesel cheating went on for far longer than the company has acknowledged. The attorneys general for New York, Maryland, and Massachusetts say the first known instance of VW rigging diesel engines occurred in 1999. And then the company spent the next decade perfecting its so-called defeat devices for use in Europe and the U.S.
Futures this morning moving higher. S&P E-mini futures up 6.5 points. Dow E-mini futures up 73. And NASDAQ E-mini futures are up 16. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. The yield 1.55%. NYMEX crude oil is moving higher up 0.2% or 10 cents to $44.75 a barrel. Coming up on Bloomberg, the first word, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street. This hour of the first word is brought to you by Westchester Subaru. Visit westchestersubaru.com. The GOP has a nominee. Well, it's close to it. Let's bring in Michael Barr now with the very latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. They are now the Republican Party's official team for the November presidential election. Delegates at the Republican National Convention have formally nominated Donald Trump and his running mate, Indiana Governor Mike Pence. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports all that's left now is for Trump to accept the nomination.
The Stop Trump movement in the party never got a foothold on day two, addressing the convention via video uplink.
I'm so proud to be your nominee for President of the United States. I look forward to sharing my thoughts with you on Thursday night on how we build a brighter and more hopeful future for all America.
He will accept the nomination then. Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Radio, San Francisco.
We also got a glimpse of Donald Trump, the father. Donald Trump Jr. spoke at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland.
That president can only be my mentor, my best friend, my father, Donald Trump.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie took aim at Hillary Clinton during his speech last night before the convention, leading the crowd in chants of lock her up.
Tonight, as a former federal prosecutor, I welcome the opportunity to hold Hillary Rodham Clinton accountable for her performance and her character.
Trump's running mate Mike Pence will speak tonight. Hillary Clinton swiped back at Donald Trump during a stop in Las Vegas yesterday.
We need to write a new chapter in the American dream, and it can't be chapter 11.
It is the second time this year Kansas City, Kansas has lost a police officer to a shooting. Authorities say Captain Robert Melton was shot in his vehicle yesterday when he encountered a man who fit the description of a suspect in a drive-by shooting. The man was arrested shortly after Melton was shot. President Obama promised to spend the rest of his days in office looking for ways to protect police officers and address tensions between law enforcement and minorities. The president sent an open letter to law enforcement yesterday. Writer and director Gary Marshall has died. Marshall's TV hits included Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley. A publicist says Marshall died yesterday of complications from pneumonia after having a stroke. Gary Marshall was 81. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thanks very much. It's now 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Land Rover Parsippany Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
All right, good morning, Bob. It was expected to be a pitcher's duel with Noah Syndergaard facing Jake Arrieta, and it was at Wrigley Field, and a thrilling finish at the end.
Swinging, a bouncing ball to third. Reyes has it. Goes to second. One. Walker to first. Low throw. Loney's got it. Double play. Put it in the box. Oh, what a Houdini act by Jerry's Familia. The bases were loaded. Nobody out in the bottom of the ninth. Familia gets a couple of ground balls to get three outs, and the Mets pull it off.
On WR, Mets scoring top of the ninth inning and then holding on, topping the Cubs 2-1. Washington lost to the Dodgers 8-4, so the Mets trail the Nats by 5.5 games. Miami won 10 innings in Philadelphia, so the Mets stay game behind the Marlins. And while the Mets are in third place, the Yankees are still in fourth, 5 games out of a playoff spot, but they are over 500, and that's only happened one other time since April. 7-1 win over Baltimore at the stadium. Joe Girardi got great pitching for the third night in a row.
Our starting pitchers have held the other club down. I mean, we haven't scored a ton of runs. Tonight's we almost scored as many as we did in the first 4 games. So they've all done a good job, and that's how you put long streaks together.
This time from Nathan Eovaldi, who won as a starting pitcher for the first time since May. Big three in the bullpen got the night off, but Anthony Swarzyk stepped up. 2 2/3 of hitless relief worked out of a bases-loaded jam in the sixth inning. Starlin Castro, the hitting star, with a homer and 4 RBIs. Yanks have not been 2 games over 500 all season. They go for that tonight. Red Sox within a half game at first. They shut down the Giants 4-0 at Fenway. Tiger Woods, news not a surprise. Won't play the upcoming PGA Championship at Baldessarra. His ailing back will keep him off the course for all of 2016. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stanchow. Bob?
Thanks, John. Just breaking on the Bloomberg, Volkswagen says first half profits was higher than analysts expected. Coming up, amid the growing hand-wringing over where treasuries are headed, we'll talk to Wells Fargo senior economist Mark Vittner. The sports report was brought to you by Land Rover Parsippany. If it's in your nature to cast off the everyday and seek adventure, the Discovery Sport was built to help your search. Visit LandRoverParsippany.com or call 1-800-FIND-4WD, Land Rover, above and beyond.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Sage Summit, the world's largest gathering of small and medium businesses, featuring Sir Richard Branson, July 25th to the 28th in Chicago. Register with promo code BUSINESS at sagesummit.com for just $99. Another busy day for earnings ahead. Morgan Stanley, Halliburton, Intel, Qualcomm, American Express, and eBay are all scheduled to report. Equities are edging higher in Asia and Europe as positive earnings news from some of the world's biggest companies counter concern the global economy is losing steam. The dollar is strengthening while gold is retreating. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P E-mini futures up 6 points. Dow E-mini futures up 68. And NASDAQ E-mini futures up 15. The DAX in Germany's up 1.2%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. The yield 1.56%. Yield on the 2-year 0.69%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 9 cents to $44.74 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $5.20 to $13.27.10 an ounce. The euro $1.0997 and the yen 106.44. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. While Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump's triumph continues inside the convention hall, protests planned outside today could fuel simmering tension. Meanwhile, Donald Trump has been crowned as the Republican standard bearer in the presidential election. All Trump has to do now is to accept the nomination. The two conservative stalwarts take the podium today, including Trump's running mate, Indiana Governor Mike Pence, and Senator Ted Cruz, a former opponent Trump has called Lion Ted. In sports in Major League Baseball, the Yankees down the Orioles 7-1. The Mets beat the Cubs 2-1. The Red Sox shut out the Giants 4-0. The A's won. The Nationals lost. Well, Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts, and more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thanks very much. Take a look at the headlines on the Bloomberg this morning for more evidence of a shift in the thinking of some economists about where Treasury yields are likely to be headed. Economist Komal Sreekumar, the bull who saw the Treasury rally, forecast benchmark yields may fall to a record 0.9% by the end of the year. His forecast goes further than the 1% fall by the first quarter of next year that we told you about yesterday, forecast by Matthew Hornbach, the head of global interest rate strategy for Morgan Stanley. Meantime, a Societe Generale model indicates less than a 1% chance that U.S. yields will reach below 1.1%. We want to have Mark Vittner weigh in on this now. He is Wells Fargo senior economist. Good morning, Mark. Welcome. And what's your guess about this?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see rates go down that to those levels this year. I think that the economy seems to be firming up. The scare around the employment report seems to have passed, and when we get that weak number, we put out a report taking a deeper dive into the data that showed that the May number was a real rogue number, and that that hiring was holding up reasonably well, and that we're likely to add somewhere around 175,000 jobs a month to the end of the year. In that kind of environment, the Fed's likely to raise rates at least once, probably in December, but maybe as early as September. And and with the Fed raising rates, I just don't see the long end coming down, at least not yet. I think we will have a flatter curve even after the Fed rate hike, but it's not going to be that flat and not likely to invert this year.
I mentioned that Societe Generale was using a macro model for its number. Is that a problem these days? Do we need some new models, or is this different than all the other times?
Well, I think there's this thinking that the model's this really really smart black box that you feed a couple numbers into and you get the output, but in reality, it's only as good as the assumptions that go into building that model. And I just really wonder. I think that there was a lot of apocalyptic views after the Brexit as to what was going to happen to the global economy and what was going to happen to the U.S. economy. And I don't think those are going to come to pass. I think that it's a headwind. It's more of a speed bump for the U.S. economy. We're going to have fairly strong GDP growth for the second quarter. The third quarter looks like it's getting off to a solid start. So I think that with the economy growing 2.5 to 3% in the second and third quarters of this year, Fed's going to have the wind at their back. I think everybody's going to be expecting them to raise rates, and I think that the inflation numbers also are going to heat up a little bit and say, hey, wait a minute, why on earth are yields way down here? I know that we're getting this huge influx of capital from overseas, but with the U.S. economy growing as fast as it is, I just think that there'll be a lot more uses for funds than buying risk-free treasuries.
I don't want to nail you down with a phrase like this, but if fundamentals aren't strong, are they at least getting stronger then? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, they're getting stronger, where I don't think they're strong, they're solid. And I think that was our take right after the Brexit, that the U.S. economy is solid. It's not spectacular, but it's very solid, very resilient. And growth is likely to be fairly, if not solid, if not strong, very solid for the second and third quarters of this year.
The thing that shook us up so much was the payroll numbers. Where do you see those going?
Well, we think we're going to average about 175,000 jobs a month in the second half of this year. And the June number was a little bit of a catch-up for us because there were all sorts of weird things that were going on in the data. The Easter fell so early this year. It was the earliest Easter we had since 2008, and we're not going to have an Easter that early again until the year 2035. And while the statistical agencies try to seasonally adjust for the timing of Easter, it's impossible to do for something that happens this infrequently or impossible to do accurately. And so what that did is it bolstered job growth earlier in the year, and it took it away from the spring months. Now that's behind us. Seasonal adjustment kind of averages out over the course of the year. and really in the first 6 months of the year, it's all canceled each other out. So we're now looking to get back to our trend growth rate. Jobless claims are down at the lowest level that we've seen. Hiring plans by the NFIB or by the JOLTS survey both show that they're in pretty strong shape right now.
Wells Fargo senior economist Mark Vittner, thanks very much for your insights this morning. S&P mini futures up 8 points. That is better than a third of 1%. Dow E-minis higher by 80 points. NASDAQ E-minis up by 18 points. Treasury prices are a little lower, I should say. They're up to 1.56% yield. Bloomberg, the first word, is brought to you by the accountants and advisors at Eisner Amper. Cybersecurity is on the mind of every business leader. Managing cyber risk should be too. Get started with a cyber risk assessment. Learn more at eisneramper.com/cyber risk.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg the First Word.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg, the first word is brought to you by SEI. In the future, the asset management business will be profoundly different. Find out how SEI's global operating platform can help you navigate the new operational frontier at seic.com/imagine.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. PIMCO has named Manny Roman as its next chief executive. Roman will replace Douglas Hodge effective November 1st. Hodge, who presided over a tumultuous time that included the departure of Bill Gross and a plunge in assets at the firm, will remain at PIMCO as a managing director and senior advisor. Roman had been CEO of Man Group, the world's largest publicly traded hedge fund manager.
Microsoft shares are up 4% in early trading today after reporting profit and sales that topped analyst estimates. Bloomberg's Corey Johnson has the story from our San Francisco bureau.
Growth in their cloud division continues apace, growth about 6.6%. But that's down from the 7.6% of just 9 months ago. So not growing like gangbusters as the company really turns its shift from traditional licensed software towards the cloud. However, it's Microsoft Azure business, doubled, in fact, over the course of a year. So that business growing at a fantastic pace and indeed growing even faster than its bigger competitor in Amazon Web Services. So across the board, Microsoft generally beating estimates. And in the face of the declines in the PC business that it once relied upon so desperately, maybe things could have been a lot worse for Microsoft. Corey Johnson, Bloomberg, San Francisco.
All right, thanks, Corey. U.S. federal prosecutors are expected to file civil lawsuits to seize assets allegedly purchased with money from One Malaysia Development, or 1MDB. That's according to the Wall Street Journal, which says the move could come as early as this morning. This would be the U.S. government's first action tied to the 1MDB probe.
SAP this morning reported earnings that topped analyst estimates as it closed more software deals despite political turmoil in Europe. Operating profit for the second quarter was $1.67 billion, exceeding the $1.59 billion average of analyst estimates collected by Bloomberg.
And Volkswagen today said its first half earnings exceeded analyst estimates. The carmaker says operating results before special items was $8.25 billion. Futures this morning higher. S&P E-mini futures up about 8 points. Dow E-mini futures up 77. And NASDAQ E-mini futures up 18. The DAX in Germany is up 1.4%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32. The yield 1.56%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 9 cents at $44.74 a barrel. And the euro $1.1009. This is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. This hour of the first word is brought to you by BMW Mount Kisco. Visit BMWMountKisco.com. Well, he sure sounded like he'll accept the nomination. Here's Michael Barr now with the very latest from the Republican convention. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. Donald Trump and his running mate, Indiana Governor Mike Pence, were officially nominated to be the Republicans' pick for the White House during day two of the party's national convention. All that's left is for Trump to officially accept. Trump spoke remotely to delegates in Cleveland during a video feed from New York.
A little over 1 year ago, I announced my candidacy for president, and with your vote today, this stage of the presidential process has come to a close.
The children of Donald Trump gave us a glimpse of their father at the Republican National Convention. Donald Trump Jr. says for his father, impossible is just the starting point.
I've seen it time and time again, that look in his eyes when someone says it can't be done. I saw that look a little over a year ago when he was told he couldn't possibly succeed in politics. Yes, he did.
Tonight, Mike Pence will speak at the convention along with Trump's former Republican rival and Texas Senator Ted Cruz. Hillary Clinton weighed in on the Republican National Convention. Clinton, speaking to a union crowd in Las Vegas, says we can do a lot better than that.
They spent most of their time attacking me and President Obama rather than making any kind of argument about the future we want to build for our country.
Kansas City, Kansas is in mourning over the loss of a police captain shot and killed during the search for a suspect in a drive-by shooting. The suspect was captured just minutes after he allegedly shot Captain Robert Milton. President Obama says he will spend the rest of his days in the White House looking for ways to do more to protect police officers. The president, in an open letter to law enforcement, also called on addressing tensions between police and minorities. Secretary of State John Kerry and UK Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson says there can be no trade deal between Britain and the U.S. until the country's exit from the European Union is complete. Kerry with Johnson in a joint news conference says, though, the special relationship between the two countries would continue despite last month's Brexit vote. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Bob.
Much appreciated, Michael. Now 5:35 on Wall Street with your Land Rover Parsippany. Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower. Good morning
to you. All right, thanks, Bob. Yanks still in fourth place in their division, still said to be involved in trade talks that would signal a waving of the white flag on the season, but they've won three in a row to move over to 500 for just the second time since April. Last night at the stadium, jumping in front of the first place Orioles.
Here's a 3-1.
Swung on and driven to deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Into the second deck. Starlight, star bright. Starlin just hit one with all his might.
Castro, WFAN. Later, Castro had a two-run double. Chase Headley, two-run homer. 7-1 over Baltimore as Nathan Eovaldi returned to the rotation at his best outing since May. Yanks are 47-46. Haven't been too over 500 all year. At Wrigley, Mets scored top of the ninth inning and then held on in the bottom. Working out of a bases-loaded jam, Jerry's Familia got Chris Bryant to hit into a game-ending double play. 2-1 over the Cubs. No decision for Noah Syndergaard, but a strong outing after he complained of arm fatigue.
No, I actually felt better as the game went on. Felt more aware of my mechanics as the game went on. Didn't necessarily have my best slider today. I feel like that might be my fourth best pitch right now. So I'll use these 4 days and in between and work on improving that and be ready for 6 days from now.
Red Sox over the Giants 4-0. Three-run homer for the ageless David Ortiz. San Francisco 0-4 since the All-Star break. Dodgers ace Clayton Kershaw will remain on the disabled list with an injured back. He was due to return this week but has had a setback in his recovery. Tiger Woods continues to have an ailing back. Three surgeries over the last 3 years. Tiger hasn't played at all in 2016. It was made official he won't play, so he'll miss, among others, the upcoming PGA Championship at Baltusrol in New Jersey. We have the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Bob?
John, appreciate it. United Continental Holdings reported second quarter profit yesterday that exceeded analyst estimates. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the details.
Lower fuel and operating costs overcame weak fares. United said it plans to trim growth for 2016 and now sees full-year capacity increasing no more than 1.5% last year, compared with the previous plan to grow by as much as 2%. The scale-back expansion follows a similar move by Delta Airlines last week. Investors have urged carriers to cut seats or flights to strengthen fares and make unit revenue, a key industry gauge, rise again after falling for more than a year. United's board also authorized a new $2 billion share buyback plan. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Radio.
Charlie, thanks. And that brings us to 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for your T2 Computing Tri-State Business Report and our check-in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning to you, Ed.
Hi, Bob. A judge has ruled that Gawker Media cannot extend its bankruptcy court protection to its founder, Nick Denton. The company filed for Chapter 11 to avoid paying a $140 million invasion of privacy verdict to Hulk Hogan. Denton says he'll file for personal bankruptcy, and that could disrupt Gawker's plan to sell itself in an August auction. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has appointed a longtime media executive as his country's new representative in New York, replacing a former investment banker. Cineplex chairwoman Phyllis Yaffe becomes consul general as part of Trudeau's biggest diplomatic overhaul yet. Hofstra University will host the first presidential general election debate. Wright State University in Ohio withdrew as host, citing rising security worries and costs. That means the first debate will be in the home state of the two major parties' presumptive nominees, Republican Donald Trump and Democrat Hillary Clinton. That's the T2 Computing Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Thank you, Ed. Visium Asset Management plans to fire 33 employees in New York. The move by Jacob Gottlieb's firm comes as it liquidates hedge funds following charges against three former employees. Gottlieb said last month that Visium will shutter hedge funds after one of the company's star managers and two former employees were charged with securities fraud. A spokesman for Visium declined to comment on the report. China's largest movie distributor is planning a $611 million initial public offering later this month. China Film Company plans to offer shares on the Shanghai Stock Exchange on July 28th. The offering would be the biggest ever in China's entertainment industry. A forward look at the markets now. S&P E-mini futures up 7 points. That is a third of 1%. Dow E-minis higher by 76 points. NASDAQ E-mini futures up by 18 points. Treasury prices are lower. The yield on the 10-year up to 1.57%. The pound is trading higher by 0.6% at $1.3189. You're listening to Bloomberg, the first word. And your Tri-State Business Report was brought to you by T2 Computing, a new kind of IT solutions company for workflow, mobility, and infrastructure. Let them explain how their expertise can help you gain greater business value. Visit T2Computing.com for more information.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are rising this morning with S&P E-mini futures up 8 points, Dow E-mini futures up 75, and NASDAQ E-mini futures up almost 18. DAX in Germany is up 1.4%, CAC in Paris up 1.2%, and the FTSE 100 up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, the yield 1.57%, yield on the 2-year 0.70%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.25% or 11 cents to $44.76 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $6.30 to $13.26.10 an ounce. The euro, $1.1009, and the yen, 106.65. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Donald Trump has been nominated for president at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. Trump addressed the delegates briefly in a video feed, thanking them for formally nominating him as the party's White House candidate. Trump addresses the convention in person tomorrow. Police in Kansas City, Kansas say an officer was shot and killed while sitting in his patrol car yesterday. They say the officer pulled up to someone matching the description of a suspect in a drive-by shooting. The person opened fire, hitting the officer multiple times. The alleged shooter was caught a few minutes later. Writer and director Gary Marshall has died at age 81. In sports, in Major League Baseball, the Yankees downed the Orioles. The Mets beat the Cubs. The Red Sox shut out the Giants. The A's won. The Nationals lost. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Thank you, Michael. Now it's time to check in with Bloomberg Gadfly. Gadfly is Bloomberg's global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis about pivotal financial markets and corporate news. We're joined live now by Edward Evans, Bloomberg Gadfly editor in our London bureau. And Edward, this sounds serious. Goldman Sachs is firing a shot across lending club's bow.
Yeah, there wasn't a ton to get excited about in Goldman's earnings report on Tuesday, but there were one or two tantalizing details about the firm's efforts to tap into the Main Street customer base. On a conference call, CFO Harvey Schwartz said the bank would roll out its consumer lending platform this fall after surveying thousands of consumers about what they would want from such a thing. Now, this isn't going to be a big business in its own right that's going to push Goldman's revenue back up to record highs, at least not in the short term. But the intrigue here lies in what its potential is to disrupt the disruptors, those online startups that have pioneered the brave new world of peer-to-peer or marketplace lending. Now, LendingClub is, of course, one of those pioneers. And, of course, we've seen how the company in recent months has got caught up in a series of high-profile stumbles. And really, what's interesting here is Goldman tiptoeing into a business with what Schwartz called a very deliberate and methodical approach, as LendingClub's reputation lies certainly in rubble.
And this pension fund story just doesn't go away. Pension funds are facing a 7% return dream in a 0% reality. Just ask the biggest U.S. public pension fund.
Yes, look at CalPERS, which has just posted its worst performance since the crisis. It gained a paltry 0.6% in the year through June. Of course, that's nowhere near to the 7.5% return that the system expects to pay its bills. Now, on one hand, yeah, it's just 1 year, but on the other, it's the second disappointment in a row, and it's brought the system's average investment returns to 7% over the past two decades. Now, of course, the path only gets harder from here. We all know we're in a zero interest rate or even negative interest rate world here. And the problem for the pension funds is that as they're assuming returns of 6 or 7.5%, what happens if they can't get that? Without those expected returns over the long run, pensions either need to promise less or get more money through contributions, either from their workers or potentially taxpayers. One thing to note here, which is fascinating, none of the hedge fund managers surveyed by Preqin in June expect returns of more than 8% or more in 2016, and only 6% expected broad gains of 6% or more. Now, pension funds are a small part of pensions' overall investments, but it's really telling because it shows how there's been this massive sea change in investor sentiment.
I don't know, why would you not bank on high expectations for future returns? You can read more fast commentary and instant analysis at Bloomberg.com/gadfly or by typing GADFGO on the Bloomberg. Karen.
Well, now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. And today, Bloomberg Law host June Grasso discusses the acquittal of Baltimore police officer Lieutenant Brian Rice, the fourth officer to be acquitted in the 2015 death of Freddie Gray. She spoke with George Newhouse, a partner at Denton's, and David Jaros, a professor at the University of Baltimore School of Law.
David, can you give us a condensed version of this case?
Well, I can try. You know, this is a case that started off in the public eye through the very powerful video that was taken of Mr. Gray being detained and placed into the van. But what became clear as the evidence came out is that this case morphed from what was a theory that Freddie Gray received what was called a rough ride, where the officers deliberately drive Mr. Gray in a manner so as to injure him, to something that looked more like criminal negligence for failing to buckle him in, and a claim for some of the officers that they had failed to get medical assistance and therefore were criminally liable for that. So this case changed from a crime that involved sort of an active commission to a crime of omission, the failure to do something.
David, Judge Williams looked at the evidence of Rice's decision to have Gray's legs shackled before he was put face down on the van floor. And there was also evidence that he asked for medical help several times. How did the judge look at that and not see that there was some kind of conduct problem?
Well, so there are two different issues there. One is this question of whether or not there was a need to seek medical attention, and that related to Officer Goodson and Officer Porter and those officers who came later on in the story of what happened. But that initial decision to place Mr. Gray in shackles and place him into the van, that actual placement into the van initially was not challenged as inappropriate. The critical question was, after he was placed into the van, Was the officer required to place him into a seat when he was at that point passively resisting and buckle him in to secure him? And I think a critical question that people have to focus on in the case is this, is the legal distinction between negligence, which is when you're civilly liable and you don't do what a responsible, reasonable person would do, and what in Maryland we call gross criminal negligence.
The police officers, the last three, decided to choose a bench trial, which is a trial before a judge, rather than a jury trial, which the first officer chose and ended in a mistrial. Is that usually a smart move for police officers to choose a judge rather than a jury?
It can be, particularly in any case where there is a lot of emotion. And as this one, it well amplifies a high degree of emotion and passion in the community. And as Judge Williams pointed out in introducing his verdict for Lieutenant Rice, he says emotion and passion should and shall play no role in this verdict. Juries find it more difficult to do that because they're laypersons. That's what judges are trained to do. So the conventional wisdom would be if you have a technical defense, and here it is that the state's case simply doesn't rise to the level of proof beyond reasonable doubt.
And that's George Newhouse, a partner at Denton's, and David Jaros, a professor at the University of Baltimore School of Law. They spoke with Bloomberg Law host June Grosso. You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 4:30 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio.
And now, among the top legal stories from Bloomberg Law, Fox News Network is suing Charter Communications. Fox claims the cable company tried to use its acquisition of Time Warner Cable to impose lower programming rates. Univision Holdings leveled similar accusations just weeks ago. The move comes as cable operators are fighting to stem the tide of customers canceling pay television services in favor of online options such as Netflix. Charter's purchase of Time Warner Cable gave the combined company millions more subscribers and a leg up in negotiations with programmers. And that's this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information.
And futures are higher this morning. S&P E-mini futures up about 8 points. Dow E-mini futures up 75. NASDAQ E-mini futures up 18. The DAX in Germany is up 1.4%. CAC in Paris up 1.1%. And the FTSE 100 is up about 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32. The yield 1.56%. Yield on the 2-year 0.69%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.2% or 7 cents to $44.58 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $6 to $13.2620 an ounce. And the euro is at $1.1008. This is Bloomberg, the first word. This is Bloomberg.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report, legal, tax, regulatory, and business information. Here's Patrice Sikora.
The Rams can argue that fans who feel betrayed by the team's move from St. Louis to Los Angeles must pursue their class action claims in federal court. A U.S. appeals court says the NFL team properly filed to remove the suit from Missouri State Court. Fans claim they bought tickets and merchandise from the St. Louis Rams, with the understanding there was no intent to move the team to another city. A Health and Human Services report finds Americans are giving up ownership of their private health data by sharing it in ways that are not protected under privacy laws. People release information under the false assumption it must be kept confidential under federal law. And new financing plans are part of a White House initiative to expand access to rooftop solar panels and energy efficiency home improvements to low and moderate income households. The Clean Energy Savings for All program also makes it easier for homeowners to use long-term borrowing to pay for panels and efficiency upgrades.
That's today's Bloomberg BNA report. For more on these and other stories, visit bna.com.